Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. Our topic is leadership, and our guests bring their knowledge, skills, challenges, and even wins to help us all be better leaders. My name is Tara Lehman, and I am a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. For our leadership clients, we aim to provide effective leadership information through our podcast, community, coaching, and more. You can see all of our leadership offerings and information about our leadership community at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Matt Sitter, CEO of AFN and CEO and founder of Kinetic Path. Thank you for joining the show today, Matt.
Thanks, Tara. Great to be here.
So I like to start my show with getting to know a little bit about you and your leadership journey. So why don't you start us off?
Sure. I would say my first experience with leadership actually goes back a very long way. I played water polo in high school and still play today. Mm-hmm. And I am not a big guy. I'm about 5'8". A lot of the people who are best are usually a lot bigger than
are
I
they?
Am. Yeah, quite a bit. And so, being the person who is never going to be the biggest, strongest, fastest, most athletic around meant that I had to figure out other ways that I could help out the team. And really that meant like, hey, how do I understand how everything is working with the group generally? How do we look mm-hmm. across the whole field of what people are doing? And how can I enable that to happen? I don't have to be the person who scores to be able to enable that mm-hmm. to actually occur. And that actually followed me quite a bit through my career. As I was, post-business school, I was very, very interested in healthcare and took a number of positions where I was managing people that I did not share any of their functional expertise. So nurses, dietitians, doctors, software developers, all these people, I could not have micromanaged them if I wanted to. And it still seemed to go pretty well, which really made me understand that I am fascinated with how groups and organizations can work through leadership, not with the requirement that you have to do everything, but that you can help other people understand the objectives that they need to reach. And, that led me towards a company called the McChrystal Group, where I met a bunch of people who were former special operators in the military and understanding their brand of leadership, how they work together. And so it's been this amalgam of stuff that I've been pulling together the course of my life, but always with this idea that I can be an enabler rather than having to be the one who's doing everything as the star of the show.
I love that you bring up leading teams that you may not be, have their expertise. And I think that it shows true leadership and what we like to talk about leadership. It's not about being an expert or being a specialist, so to speak. It's about having a team that you lead who can do what needs to be done. So that was a good point you brought up there.
Thanks. Yeah, I just think it's not possible to, you can't know everything, right? No. We live in too complex of a world now. And so you have to be comfortable helping drive people in a certain direction, but also giving them the leeway to be able to do what they really know how to do.
And trust them to that they'll do it as well. Yeah, exactly. So I know that one of the things that, we're going to talk about today is mistakes, because we all make them. We're human, right? I mean, who hasn't made a mistake? Let's be honest. So we want to talk about empowering people to use those mistakes and how our leaders can support them. Why is this an important topic for you?
Well, it's interesting when you think about the capability. Utilizing the full capabilities of everyone around you means that you have to be able to help them with initiative. They have to feel confident in terms of taking initiative and being able to use the full range of their skills. And one of the things that we see is that it's very easy for learned helplessness to take hold with people. So if you make a mistake and you get your hand slapped, the response is going to be, well, I'm not going to do that again. Whereas if you think about the opposite being true, really encouraging someone to take initiative, take risks, takes a lot more effort to make sure that they are willing to do so, because it only takes their hand getting slapped that one time where it's like, that really didn't feel worth it. And so I'm not going to do it again. And if we're trying to access the full range of someone's capabilities, you really have to work very hard to get them comfortable and confident with taking initiative. Doesn't mean they can't ask questions on what mm-hmm. they're doing. Doesn't mean that they have to know the right form of action every time. But it does mean that we have to really help to encourage them along the way. And maybe just I'll add one more thing on top of that. In the pandemic, one of the things that we saw was that it became much more common for leaders to engage in what I call transactional communication. So everyone being remote, the communication that you're having typically was, hey, I need something from you, or you need something from me. And that is the only reason that you're communicating. And the thing about transactional communication is that you can tell if it was successful. Did I get what I want, and did I get it fast? But that actually is devoid of context. And it's really, really enticing to use transactional communication on a regular basis because it is really, really efficient. But over time, if you continue to use that method of communicating, the person on the other end is actually losing all the context. And so if I went into Starbucks and order a cup of coffee, their job is to deliver a cup of coffee to me. They're not going to care if I was actually thirsty and water would have been the better choice. And so that means they're only beholden to what the order that I gave was. If we're thinking about what we've got to do at our organizations, more context means that we can get a better solution.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to touch back on something you started to mention earlier as well, with the mistakes that we make become innovations in a lot of places. So I want to, if that's okay, we can lean that way a little bit for the
Sure,
next part of the
absolutely.
conversation. I think, I'm one of those people who believes that failures and mistakes are transformational if we look at them the right way. If we don't just do it as a transaction and say, oh, you failed, Matt, sorry, go back and do whatever, where we actually learn from it. How can leaders help their employees know, number one, that it is safe and okay to make mistakes? I will admit there is not 100% of the cases, that it's
Right,
okay,
right.
but we'll make that general assumption today. How can leaders show that support without those employees being fearful of making a mistake?
Well, part of it comes back to the environment and the culture that you're building up. So first of all, I would say the environment that you're setting is an understanding of diversity of experience, expertise, and perspective is actually a huge positive. And that's how we end up learning. We have to have differences between people to be able to get to better solutions generally. I think about the Reese's peanut butter cup ads from the 80s, right? Chocolate and peanut butter smashing together. You never would have done that before, but it turns out it was a really great treat to be able to have. And so you do need some of these accidental collisions to be able to drive different ways of thinking about things. So I would say that's A is like, hey, recognize that we need different approaches to be able to actually deliver on what we're doing. Second thing is the leader's job is in setting that environment is also to say like, hey, there's this vision that we've got for an organization and there's values that we might adhere to. And those are some of the rules in absence of guidance that you can always adhere to is, saying like, hey, if I'm left without being able to ask someone's advice, what would I do? So you've got these general guidelines that are out there, these left and right parameters that will help you out along the way. So setting that first and then say, hey, then there's freedom to operate within there as well. So saying like, hey, I know that there's going to be different ways that we do things, but you have to have this idea of a positive and performative retrospective look on a regular basis. So if you're reviewing what happened, if you do after action review or postmortem, I don't like using postmortem as a word because it implies
That's
someone
a good word,
died. It doesn't always use not someone died all the time. But this idea of, hey, let's look back and see what we did right and what we did wrong with the idea of, hey, how can we get better? Not being able to accuse someone of doing something wrong and being able to punish them. It's just like, hey, what do we want to do next time? What did we learn from this?
I love that you mentioned that it's the word we, right? It's not an I, it's not a you, it's maybe there's a process problem. Something didn't work. Let's work together to make it better next time. Learn from what didn't happen. And I'd like to that you mention what went well, because generally something went well, no matter what part of the process. Something probably went very well. And it's important for people to feel good about what went well and then work on what needs improved, right?
Well, and what went well is a source of leverage for the future too. Like if you actually determine something went well, it's a responsibility to share that because other people can make use of that particular innovation that you may have accomplished.
I think too, as you mentioned, having a great culture and one that is open and not fearful of making mistakes. I made a huge mistake one time with some pricing stuff that got to a customer. And the first thing I did was I went to my president's office. I said, "Oh my gosh, you won't believe what I just did. What do I do?" And to have that kind of open culture is really, really important. So I want to ask you, what was the biggest mistake you had to overcome within your journey moving up to leadership? And how did culture help that? Or did
Well,
it?
maybe, if I could just comment really quick on the mistake that you were talking about before. So, one of the opportunities within that for your boss was as well saying like, "Hey, Tara recognized she had a mistake. She came to me right away." It's a culture. It's an opportunity to reinforce culture at that moment. So saying like, "Hey, everyone, wanted to let you know this is what happened. Tara took this action so that we could figure out a way to actually resolve it more quickly. This can be very much reinforcing the idea like, hey, we run an accountable organization. Tara took accountability for herself and she came to me to help drive the solution." So I think that that's really, really valuable. There's all sorts of mistakes that we can make. I mean, I remember, making a mistake once where, very early in my career, I was out here on the West Coast working with someone on the East Coast and they couldn't do a late meeting for that day. And I had come in and someone else and was like, "Oh, I guess they don't work late on Fridays." And it turned out, I think it was Rosh Hashanah and I didn't have any awareness around it. It was a religious holiday for the person. It was just like, okay, that was a big mistake to say that type of thing. Even though I meant it in jest, people can take that very seriously. And so that idea like, hey, that I'm absolutely fallible. I want to take responsibility for that right away and let you know that that's not how I feel. That was not the intent with which it was done, and I will work to be better.
And I think it's all about learning. Like, it really is about learning from our mistakes so that we can be better people, better leaders, better employees, whatever that is. Let's go back to communication and culture for a second, because those are very key pieces of having a culture where your employees know that if they make a mistake, they can come to you and it's not the end of the world, unless it's one of those, we'll call it exceptions to the rule. What are your thoughts around communication when it comes to mistakes happening and employees really understanding that they can come to you if you know what I mean? Just that they know that they're not going to hide it, because that happens a lot as well.
Sure. Well, I mean, I'd say one of the things is it's a lot more difficult to clean up messes when they become a much bigger mess, right? So it's like,
Yes,
hey, how do we limit
agreed.
the mess? How do we get there? How do we get there more quickly? The important thing I think is to set baseline rules around communication and what the point of it is. So I spend a lot of time thinking about networks. Information is the currency within a network, and information flows within a network by virtue of communication. And the goal of communication is not to actually send information out into the world. It is to be understood. And so thinking about, hey, first and foremost, the goal of our communication is to be understood. What that means is that you have to understand the person who is receiving that information really well. You have to be empathic to both what they might see or hear, but also how they might actually have even grown up receiving communication. We think about the idea of digital natives versus digital immigrants. People who are millennials, they grew up with phones, with the internet in a way that folks who are Gen Xers or baby boomers did not. And so understanding how we actually take in information can be pretty meaningful. I know not to leave a voicemail for my 15-year-old son because he's never ever going to listen to it. That is an ineffective form of communication. I will not be understood if I put it there. So I think that baseline rule is really, really important. And then talking about in context of the environment within mistakes is like, hey, we run an organization that aims to be continuously improving. Part of that is being able to recognize where mistakes might happen. If you make a mistake on something, the likelihood is that someone else could make that at some point in the future. How do we use this as a tool to drive towards improvement within the organization? And then again, I think this idea of being able to reinforce it in a pretty simple set of values, like 3 to 5 values. You don't want something that's going to be 10 words long and
A
you know
book.
people forget about. Yeah, you
Yeah.
don't want it to be a book. You want it to be like, what are these simple rules? What are the things that we always and never do that can help us govern what happens? And if you're adhering to those, you can contextualize any mistake that may have happened against that and say, like, all right, you know, how do we actually use this to better achieve where we're trying to go? And did you actually adhere to our values within it? A mistake of ethical means or something like that, that might be unforgivable. But, you know, those things that are honest mistakes, something you got to learn from.
Yeah, exactly. I want to go back to the differences in ages that we're seeing within, companies and how people accept mistakes. You talk about the cell phone. I mean, I have a 17-year-old, same thing, right? Don't leave a message, send a text.
Right.
But when we're making mistakes, and this is in general, not obviously through too much detail, but the older generations tend to hide mistakes more than the younger generations do, but they also communicate very differently. And I think it's important for our leaders to know and understand that you need to know your audience. And you alluded to that already, is really knowing, like, who are you talking to? We need to communicate to understand and communicate to be understood. And it really does depend upon your audience. So I love that you brought that up. I think it's a key point. I think it's a key
Yeah, I
point.
agree 100%. You know, if you're being empathic, if you're thinking about how they'll actually take in the message, you gotta, I always talk about this in terms of, hey, I'm gonna put my thumb on the scale of making sure that I am understood, right? I want to make sure that the message that I was sending is the message that's going to be received.
And that's something too with mistakes happening. Maybe it was the messaging in some way or the communication. Maybe it was that you told me to do something and didn't realize you missed a word, right? I mean, it's all about
Right.
really understanding that communication side of things.
Yeah, I mean, communication is tremendously complicated and there's all sorts of things that can
Yes.
get in the way. I got a text message once from a person who was my boss, you know, this was probably 20 years ago, and he said, "What is moron's email address?" And
Wow.
I didn't know who they were referring to. I was like,
Yeah.
geez, do I not know who this moron is? It turns out that I had that they had mistyped. It was supposed to be Morton. Right. They were saying, what is Morton's email address? And so, but I was nervous about asking about it because there was this word there that had a big meaning. And if I didn't understand what the boss was trying to tell me, I was going to have a much harder time with it. So, yes, there are communication challenges that exist out there. We shouldn't shy away from letting people ask for clarification, right? This, the clarification, asking for that clarification can be a part of the learning process, is like, hey, you know, how am I understanding exactly what you're trying to communicate to me?
Yes, I agree. I think the clarifying is very, very important, especially in the case like yours where you get that strange,
Yeah.
you're like, what is this? So it's very
Yeah.
important to really understand what it was they were asking. Let me ask you about your thoughts around mistakes when it comes to teams, really quickly. Like, how can we empower and lead teams with their emotions or with their feelings around mistakes? Some people will get really inside themselves and be angry with themselves and, things like that within a team. Do you have any tips that could help that maybe we haven't shared?
Well, so you know, teams are a tremendously complex beast, right? And
Yes, they
all of us
are.
as individuals are very complex. You put a bunch of us together in one place at one time, and there is a likelihood for greater complexity to ensue. One of the things that I like to think about is in terms of like when you're creating that psychological safety environment, how are you creating a mutual environment of trust and what you're trying to put together. There's a book called The Rise of Superman, which I really, really enjoyed. I recommend this book a lot. It's about the concept of getting in the zone. Like, what do you do to actually get yourself in that spot where you can be tremendously productive? There's a chapter in there specifically on team. They call it the we of flow, right? So when you've got on this team, the best team that you were on, like it just felt like you could communicate with a look and things like that. And those don't happen by accident. There's actually certain conditions that are set within it. And when you think about how you can deliberately set some of those conditions, even in a contrived setting, that can make a big difference to what the team experiences. And so there's three things that I took away that I thought were really important. And this is just like, hey, if you're doing an offsite, doing an activity with folks, like setting these conditions will help people arrive at this type of feeling that they can carry over their work. One of them is being able to set a clear goal. Okay, so do I know what we're actually trying to accomplish? The second is that, is there some sense of novelty around it? Is it something that was either unexpected or something entirely new, which is forcing people to sit up and pay attention to what's going on and be fully engaged? And then the last one is that there's some element of risk to it. And these can be comparatively small risks. It could be the person speaking up who doesn't usually. Sometimes it could be like, hey, we're going on a run together and you really don't like to work out in front of your colleagues. There's all these risks that could exist that you could see and you can celebrate in some way, which means that there's people who are willing to be vulnerable in front of each other, which allows that psychological safety to take hold in greater part.
Psychological safety goes along with physical. It should be number one, right? So why don't you give us like that key takeaway that you want us to hear today? If we didn't really gather anything else, which awesome information today, what's that key takeaway for us?
So leadership is hard and you have to work on it. You've got to constantly be learning. And I think most importantly, being able to help people feel like they are seen. It really, you have to be a student of the human condition. You have to be a student of communication because you have to work with and through people. Understanding those people who are going to be on the other end of the communication is only going to make you more effective.
100% agree, and a great key takeaway. So let me ask you, if there's anybody out there who wants to learn more about you or find you online, is there a way that they can do that?
Sure. So, afn.global is the name of our website. You can find me through that for sure. I can be found on LinkedIn as well. There are a few other Matt Sitters out there, but not a lot. So I'm not that hard to find. It's Sitter, just like babysitter, Sitter.
And just so our audience, in case you heard, it's F as in Frank, AFN. Thank you,
That's
Matt,
right.
so much for your insights today and sharing all the information. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Of course, thank you to our listeners. We hope you have gained some insight from today's episode. If you would like more information on our leadership coaching, consulting, or our Amplifying Leadership community, where all are welcome, please visit amplifyingleadership.ca, the Twin Life Coaching and Business Services Division. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.